Heavenly Father, we lift this time up to you. We pray that you would speak your word of truth to us through Eric. Make him your instrument this morning. Please open up our minds and our hearts. Free us of our distractions so that we can be attentive to your word for us this morning. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesse. Good morning. How are we doing? We're good. Okay, that's good. It's a little chat to get me ready and set up here. Thank you for joining us. This morning, I wrote this sermon for myself, so I hope you get something out of it. I've asked Stephanie if she would come up and read today's opening passage. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke 15. I know we're going through Proverbs, but we're going to start in Luke 15 and end in Proverbs. There are Bibles by the door if you need a Bible as well. You need that. Get the podium.
All right, we're in Luke 15, 3 through 7. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with us this morning as we open your word and look at what it means to be a backslider. Forgive us our sins and destroy the idols we run to instead of you. Jesus, turn our desires and affections to you. Holy Spirit, we ask for your help as we navigate these waters we call life. Teach us to live in this world but not be of this world. Help us leave here this morning with life-changing wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please open to Proverbs 14. So as I said, this morning we're going to talk about backsliding. Something that really touched my heart when Pastor first talked about going through the book of Proverbs. This idea of backsliding. And so in Proverbs 14:14 it says, "The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruits of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruits of his ways." This seems black and white, right? So we're either good, righteous, produce good fruit to the glory of God, or we're in our ways and we produce, Romans says, death, corruption. So what does it mean to be a backslider? What do you think of when you hear the word backslider? Now, I know for me, the first thought I had was, well, a backslider doesn't go to church anymore. Maybe they don't attend regularly. But, well, a backslider doesn't do community groups. Well, a backslider doesn't serve on Sunday mornings. A backslider doesn't necessarily care about the things of God. So again, this black and white image, right? So this external condition that we see. But really, if we take it a step back, it's about the heart condition, backsliding. Really, our hearts. So you would ask yourself this question, okay? How is my prayer life? In our hearts, if you're a backslider, coldness in prayer, indifference under the word of God, growing in inner corruption, the love of the world, declining love for believers, and this man-centered hope that we have. These are all things in our hearts that we start, when we're backsliding, start to change. Essentially, going back to the old ways. Now, I know that's a lot to think about, and we'll work through this a little bit more as we go, but I just want to tell you a story real quick. Excuse me. July 4th weekend, Katie and I went to Bigelow Hollow. You ever been there? It's a great place if you haven't. We took the canoe, and we took a lunch, and it was a good time. We got up there early, and we launched the canoe, loaded it up, launched the canoe. I had my fishing gear and started paddling, and just as we go out through the launch, you see this tree that has fallen into the lake. And then as you come around the corner, you see this 6-foot, 8-foot bank that all these rocks, there's roots coming out. Just the water and the wind and the elements have just eaten away at this bank. Paddling further, and we go to this one spot and have lunch, go swimming. I try to fish, no luck. Then we take the canoe back out, and we start just kind of going around. There's a bunch of different islands out there. These islands have houses on them. So as we're paddling through these islands, I'm thinking about that tree that fell into the lake, and I'm thinking about all the roots and rocks and everything you can see on the bank. And we get to the house, and it's like, well, what are they going to do? So we go by the whatever side of the house, and you see these wooden planks that they've put in to protect the bank, a retaining wall, right? So we go a little further, and at this point, the wind starts really picking up, which is kind of aggravating when you're paddling and don't have a motor, gas power. It's coming right at us. And so I'm, you know, and Katie's doing her thing. And I'm just like, man, we get to one point, and I wanted to fish. But the wind just keeps pushing us back this way, and I want to fish over here. I don't know. Maybe God's telling me there's more fish over here than there is over here. But at this point, I want to fish here, and you keep pushing me back here. I need an anchor, right? I need a rope with a rock or something just to keep me in that one spot. And so I say this story, and some of you mature ones have already gotten it, but I say this story to look at our spiritual walk, our lives. Do you have that wall to protect your spiritual banks from eroding? Do you have that anchor to keep you in that one spot that you think where all the fish are? See, 1 John chapter 2, 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." We are like that bank. We are like that canoe getting blown around by the wind. See, the world is telling us what we need to buy, what we need to do, how we need to live, how we need to look, how we need to, whatever, marketing, right? Against us. Just that water constantly beating against our banks, or that wind blowing that canoe along when we don't want to be. I don't want to be there. I want to focus on Jesus, but I keep going over here. Backsliding is not black and white. Backsliding is not, you've not been in church for a long time, you've not been in community. It's the heart condition. It's your relationship with God. In your Bibles, please open to Romans 7. Paul says it the best. Romans 7, verse 15. "For I do not understand my actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, and that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is good, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now I do what I do not want. It is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Did you get that? Again, it's not this black and white. We are in this world. And Jesus prays, we see in John 17, his prayer, the high priest's prayer, that God protect them. Father, as you protected me, protect the people you brought to me. By your word, protect them. So even Jesus, our high priest, is praying for our protection in this world, that we can focus on him and not on the desires of the flesh, on sin. So with that said, let's take a quick look, a quick spiritual assessment. Where are you with Jesus this morning? Where can you say you are? Are you far off or are you near? Or are you somewhere in the middle? Ask yourself, where am I with Jesus? See, because it's interesting, this morning as I was getting ready to preach, I thought about a couple things. One, how do I get out of this? That didn't work. But maybe if I wasn't preaching, if I was just maybe teaching the children or coffee ministry or something, audio booth, how could I get out of that? Well, you wake up, maybe it's a typical Sunday or non-typical, and you're, my throat kind of itches. Well, that's pretty common. And, you know what, I got to work tomorrow. So maybe I shouldn't go to church because, like, I don't want people to get sick and the throat itches. So, you know what, I'm going to call my ministry leader. Hey, yeah, you know, I'm feeling kind of sick. I think I should just stay home. I got to work tomorrow, go to Walgreens, get some medicine. Hopefully I'll feel better. Okay, click. Sitting on the couch thinking, you know what? If I went to the beach today, brought the family to the beach, the salt water would be good for my throat, right? Grandma always said, gargle salt water. So if I inhale the ocean water, that's going to be even better, right? Okay, hon, get the kids. Okay, let's go. Okay, we're going to the beach. I thought we were going to church. No, we're going to the beach. Dad's sick. Mom's sick. Whatever. You can see the slippery slope, right? Of it's just one little thing that adds to another little thing. And think about what you're going through right now. Think about your temptations, your struggles. What holds you back from the fullness of what God has for you? It's that slippery slope. We just start making excuses. It's life's struggles, right? It's work stress. It's the kids at the end of the summer, and they just need to go back to school. It's family issues. It's different hurts and pains and burdens that we carry around with us, and we run to our idols instead of running to Jesus. So what are you focused on this morning in your walk? What takes your attention versus Jesus? It's something interesting to think about and work through this week is that spiritual assessment on your life. How's my walk? You know, 10, 20, whatever years ago when I came to Jesus, I was on fire. My prayer was great. I was doing devotions all the time. I wasn't doing it out of a place of to-do list, check it off. I was doing it because I just loved that. I had the passion. I cared about the things of God. I cared about my relationship with Jesus. John 6, 37 through 40 says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise him up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." God's heart for us is to look towards Jesus. God's heart for us is to believe and follow him. And yet we have the world smashing our spiritual banks, pulling in trees and roots and rocks and all kinds of stuff, pushing us further away from him. Again, I told you I wrote this for myself, so if you're not getting anything, I definitely got some stuff. But I truly hope that you get that, that it's not this black and white. It's not, yeah, you know, my son or my daughter or mom or dad, they really need to listen to this. Like, we need to listen to this. We need to take a look at our heart and where we are with the Lord. So after thinking about the spiritual assessment, working through that, what's next? What's next? Well, I'd say the first point is this. It's cut off. Be honest in prayer and repentance. Be honest in prayer and repentance. Now, this is interesting because we're always taught, well, repentance is looking away from my sin and looking towards Jesus. But really, there's a process in repentance. There's a recognition of your sin, of what's keeping you from God. There's remembering Jesus, that time when you were super on fire for Jesus. Remember that time. What was your heart like then? What were you going through? There's a searching out of sin. Maybe you only deal with one. Maybe you deal with a bunch. But in repenting, we look at everything. Okay, Holy Spirit, bring to my remembrance different things that are going on in my life. There's a grieving of our sin. Do you grieve your sin? Have you ever grieved your sin? So much so that you don't ever want to do that again. And then there's running to Jesus. I would say to you, come clean with God. These things that hold us back from Jesus. These things that hold us back from the fullness of what God has for us. Repent. Come clean with him. James 4:8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's a two-way street here. So we cleanse our hands and purify our hearts, and we come to him, and he will draw near to us. I mean, that's good news. So it's not fully up to me and my to-do list. He's coming to me. He's coming down. He's helping me. So how do you draw near to God? Find hope in Hebrews 7:25. It says, consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Jesus, at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, loves us so much that continues that John 17 high priest prayer in heaven for us. He's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go get the one. Can you think about that in your life? Would I ever leave the bulk to go get the one? And then he rejoices over the one. Jesus is our good shepherd. Come clean with him. 1 Timothy 6:12. I know what you're thinking. Well, you know, I repented of that, so I should be good. But this is a life of repenting, of being in this world but not of this world, of I struggle and I stress and I go to my idols and now I need to repent. I need to come clean with God, pray, and move forward, get back to that relationship with my King. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. this life, there's a process of perseverance. Because we have the winds bashing against us and the waters coming against us, this world coming against us, that we have to persevere through it all. And I don't know if you're like me. It's like, oh, classic Eric. He did it again. Has to repent. But yeah, we sin, and then we have to repent and come clean with God and get back in right standing with Jesus. See, the gospel says that he lived the life we can't live. He died the death that we should have died. He rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. He did all that for us, so that classic Eric can keep doing what classic Eric does. But at some point, starting to grieve that sin and moving forward and becoming free of that sin. The second point is find power in the Holy Spirit. So as we walk this walk, as we go through life, finding power in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We'll have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and then be able to witness to others about Jesus, about the works of God, about what he's doing in your life, in my life. Has anybody ever said to you, "God, there's just something different about you"? Now, that difference could be a lot of things, but it also could be the Holy Spirit within you who puts your focus and your anchor towards Jesus. So when we're full of the Holy Spirit, we focus on Jesus and we do the things of God and we bear fruit to the Father's glory. And then at that point, we can start witnessing to our neighbors, to our community, to our friends and family. So, how do you walk by the Spirit? Well, Scripture says a couple of things. Galatians 5:25, "If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Not as easy as, you know, hey, do these five things and you're good to go. But keeping in step with the Spirit. So really, again, opening your heart up to say, okay, God, what's next? What do you want me to do? Have you heard that small, still voice say, go do something? Have you acted on that small, still voice? That you think, eh, it's just me. Bad meatballs. Forget about it. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God knows what's going on in our life. The Holy Spirit is here to help us navigate these waters we call life. That if we can just focus on him, work through our stuff, and look to the Holy Spirit. Scripture says he's given us a new heart. He's given us a new spirit. We're new creations in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit to help guide us. The third point, find power in community. Find power in community. There's power in numbers. So when we come together on a Sunday service, when we fellowship out there after service, when we have community groups, be part of that. Let that be a part of your everyday life. I know, we're all busy. We all have excuses. Well, I couldn't even show up to church because I had to go to the beach. But community groups, now that's, you know, a long-term commitment here. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." We need to come together. We need community. I don't know everything about me. I need a brother to say to me, look, Eric, this is what's going on. Or sister, Eric, you know, this is what I see in your life. These are your stumbling blocks. This is what, you know, the Lord really wants you to work on. We need community to help us grow, to be accountable to the things of God. Let's look back in Luke 15. Luke 15:8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I've found the coin that I've lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's a lot to say there, but what I want you to focus on is her calling her friends together and rejoicing. Let's have a party. I found my coin. So coming together in community, celebrating with each other, seeing God's transformation within each other, and working through life with each other. Now, this fall, in a couple weeks, we'll put out the fall community group catalog, which we have a lot of good things coming up. I want to encourage you to think about that and really look through that catalog and see where maybe God would want you to be, what community group to be in. We hopefully we'll have one on identifying idols and destroying them. So great for this sermon, right? Hopefully we'll have one on prayer and worship, and hopefully we'll have one on parenting and just the practical things of life and coming together as God's bride. And saying, look, this is where I've gotten off. This is where, you know, I haven't gotten off. And I can help you and you can help me. And we can work together and see God transform us. Now, if none of that relates to you, maybe you don't deal with backsliding. Things are good. You're in a good place with God. You're right with Jesus. Your prayer life is on fire. Scripture reading is amazing. You're in every community group. You got all that time? You don't make excuses. You live life to glorify God. And that's great. I praise God for that. Jesus will keep us from backsliding. Now, again, this lifestyle, this process that we go through, this world that we live in, at some point, maybe your heart might turn. At some point, and again, it's not the black and white, right? It's not what we think. It's more that heart condition. So at those points, focus on Jesus. He will keep us from backsliding. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your hearts with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your hearts. Protect your heart. Focus on Jesus. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Again, that heart condition. But he says, pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace, pursue the things of God. And as we said before in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit and things are good, don't coast. Keep in step with the Spirit. Oh, things are good. You know, I forgot to pray yesterday. No, just keep. Keep on keeping on. Jesus will help you in those moments. Again, you can find power in the Holy Spirit, power in community. Jesus will keep us. If the worship team would come up. I just want to take a couple minutes to think about that. If you are struggling, if you're working through that sort of spiritual assessment on your life, take this time and pray. Come clean with whatever you need to come clean with. If you're good with God, okay, where are we moving forward? What's next? What do you want from me? Use me. I'm your vessel. I want to serve you and glorify you and bear fruits to your glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit illuminates something to your body this morning, that we walk away with something this morning, a little nugget that we can think about and pray about and devote ourselves to this week. Father, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.